Continue. This is a rather typical type question or instruction, I'll use the terms interchangeably, that you'll encounter at the end of a hypothetical. If you think about it a moment, it's not a very helpful instruction in terms of what exactly you should talk about. It's left for you to determine the relevant topics to address, what professors call the agenda for discussion. This is an example of what we'll call an open-ended question instruction. Open-ended questions come in different forms. One may say you're a judge, write an opinion on what you just read. You're a law clerk, draft a memo for a senior attorney on the legal issues raised by the facts. The question may posit you're the attorney for Party A in the fact pattern. Discuss his rights and liabilities. Sometimes the question is more cryptic. It says simply, what result? Or discuss the legal significance of the above. Such a question, indeed, the instruction on page 90 may as well say, given this is a torts exam, what, if anything, do you want to discuss for the next 90 minutes? The open-ended question is the worst possible question type, because it provides so little guidance in terms of what to discuss, how and where to start. Unfortunately, it's also the most frequently encountered form of question. Turn to page 101. Go to the questions at the end of the fact pattern. Stop. Continue. You come to the end of a rather lengthy fact pattern. There's a series of five questions. Number one, an action by Breezy respecting two desks. If we go into the fact pattern, we'll encounter Mr. Breezy in the third and fourth paragraphs on page 100. Those paragraphs, it turns out, contain pretty much all the information needed to address question one. This question is more helpful, isn't it? It enables us, in effect, to segment the fact pattern, to focus attention on only the third and fourth paragraphs on page 100 as we address question number one. In the live program, I draw a line through part of the representation of a hypo in diagram 2, as if dividing off a segment. The information relevant to question 2 is in the fourth paragraph on page 100. I draw another segmenting line through the hypo. The information for question 3 is in the paragraph beginning at the bottom of page 100, continuing on the top of 101, another segmenting line. Some of the information for the fourth question is at the beginning, but most is in the second paragraph on page 101, another segmenting line. And the information for question 5 is in the final paragraph on 101, another segmenting line. Consider diagram 5. Stop. Continue. It represents the segmenting effect of the question format on page 101. The lengthy fact pattern is broken down into smaller units, which is helpful. Sometimes the question format is even more helpful. Say you come to the end of a civil procedure hypo. The first question posits, was service proper? This is a narrowly focused inquiry. Most students will react to it in pretty much the same way. First, the question directs attention to a finite portion of the swirl of civil procedure law in your brain, namely rules governing effective service. Specific law should therefore immediately come to mind. In the live program, I point to the one to the left of the first line, diagram 3B. Stop. Continue. The question further guides in terms of what specifically to look for in the facts. You're going to skim the facts to find the circumstances of service needing evaluation. I trace my finger from the one for law to the one for facts in diagram 3B. The narrowly focused inquiry, was service proper, points to specific law, specific facts. You make a one-to-one law-fact connection. You're not confused how to proceed. The next question may be equally focused. Was the appeal timely? What appeal? Immediately you skim the facts to find an appeal. What was the time frame? You search your legal knowledge. What's the prescribed time frame for taking this kind of appeal? I trace from one to one in the second line, diagram 3B. Specific law corresponds to specific facts. You're not confused. Say you come to the end of a criminal law hypo. The question is, did X commit a burglary? Immediately you'll think, burglary, burglary, what's the rule? Oh yes, breaking and entering. Has to be intent to commit a crime. Specific law comes to mind. Then, into the facts, looking for what? X, of course. Scanning, you find X. What's he doing? Looks like he's breaking in somewhere. What's he thinking as he breaks in? Specific law, specific facts, a narrowly focused one-to-one law-fact relationship, you're not so confused. You come to the end of a tax exam hypo. The question reads, was the deduction for the dinner party a proper business expense? Immediately amid the 1,500-page IRS code you lug into the exam, you know what to look for, regulations relating to business expense deductions. Perhaps you recall a couple cases in which business expenses were at issue. What principles were established? Then it's into the facts, looking for what? The dinner party, of course. You find it. Who's hosting it? What business is the host in? What's being discussed? Specific law, specific facts, a one-to-one correspondence, you're not so confused. Unfortunately, more often than not, questions instructions are not so focused. More often, they're of the open-ended variety, explore all rights and liabilities, draft an opinion. In effect, show that you know relevant law and how to apply it.